Welcome to Breaking It Down with D'Anthony, with your host, Devin Anthony. Welcome to the latest edition of Breaking It Down with D'Anthony. A lot to talk about today, so let's just get right into it, starting off with the NBA draft. It was Anthony Edwards, who is a 6'5", 225-pound guard out of Georgia, who was taken first by the Minnesota Timberwolves. He was definitely the best prospect in this draft because of his outstanding ability to score and his insane athleticism. Edwards will fit in well with D'Angelo Russell, who only played 12 games with the Wolves due to the season stop for COVID, and after he was traded from the Golden State Warriors in early February. And Karl-Anthony Towns, he's 25 years old. He's already a two-time All-Star, averaging 26.5 points and 11 rebounds last season, and he's definitely starting to enter his prime. So, I mean, this Minnesota Timberwolves team, they'll definitely be an exciting team to watch this season. And they could possibly mimic what the Grizzlies pulled off last season with Ja Morant by sneaking into a play-in playoff game. And, you know, the Timberwolves haven't been very good for, you know, at least the last decade or since whenever they had Kevin Love last. And, you know, they're a team that wants to compete. They're a team that's young, that wants to get back into a playoff spot in the Western Conference. I don't see it necessarily happening this year. I think it's going to take a little bit of time for Edwards to develop, but I think his second or third year, we could see the Timberwolves back in the playoffs. A team that we are used to seeing in the playoffs, but we didn't see him last year because Klay Thompson and Steph Curry got injured. They ended up being the second worst team in the league last year. So because of that, they got the second draft pick in this year's draft, and the Golden State Warriors took James Wiseman, who's a 7'1", 240-pound center from Memphis. He fills in a position that Golden State has lacked for many years and should have an immediate impact on that team. Wiseman played just 3 games at Memphis due to an eligibility issue with the NCAA, but he did average 20 points in those 3 games and was set to be one of the best players in college last year. I mean, the Warriors and many other scouts noticed how elite Wiseman was, and that although he barely played in college, he was still a top 3 player in this draft and was too good an opportunity to pass up on. So I think the Warriors definitely made the right decision in taking Wiseman here. And honestly, there's a very good chance he could be a starter next year. Maybe we could see that in the first couple of games. I mean, they were able to keep Kevon Looney, but I think Wiseman could develop to be such a great player in this league. Maybe not the first 2 years, but playing with elite guys like Curry and Klay, it doesn't matter what position you are, you automatically play better around them. But he's not going to be able to play with Klay Thompson this year because the Warriors were informed of draft night that Klay will miss yet another season this year due to an Achilles injury he suffered in a workout earlier that day on draft day. This is a huge blow for the Warriors, who know that they could have counted on Klay to pour in at least 20 a night. And Steph will now have to step into a greater role, which I think he'll be ready for. You know, he's had almost 10 months of rest. And Andrew Wiggins and Draymond Green should also be significant contributors to the Warriors. And bringing in Kelly Oubre, who's a starter for the Suns last year and averaging a career-high 19 points a game, he should also help the Warriors climb back to the elite status in the league. You know, I think Steph Curry is ready. He says he knows that the Lakers are the team to beat and that his team's ready for it. I think not having Klay is huge, and that's really going to hurt their team. But, you know, you still have very, very, very good talent on that team. Well, you know, Curry, Wiggins, Wiseman, Oubre, Green, you know, they all know what they're doing. They're very good, elite, talented players. And bringing Wiseman brings so much energy into that team, and exactly what that team needs is a big center that could fill in that position that the Warriors haven't had for years. LaMelo Ball, he was drafted 3rd by the Hornets. There was speculation saying the teams might have traded up to draft him at the first pick, but obviously I think Anthony Edwards is, you know, he's what the Timberwolves needed. I didn't think the Timberwolves were willing to trade for any reason, even if they knew that someone wasn't going to take Edwards with the first pick and they were going to take LaMelo. But it made sense for the Warriors and Timberwolves and Warriors to take the picks they did. And so LaMelo Ball, he was the best player left when it came up to the third pick, and the Hornets did what they needed to do and took him. And, you know, this Hornets team is one that, you know, bringing in LaMelo Ball, he'll bring a lot of attention and impress that team because of his flashiness on and off the court. And, you know, that's exactly what this team could use right now. But even more importantly, they just picked up a 6'8 point guard who sees the game like his brother Lonzo, but is also a much better scorer than Lonzo. You know, this is generational talent in LaMelo Ball. You know, We've seen him at the top of news headlines for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years with Lonzo coming up and going into the league. And, you know, LeVar is a man of his word. He got two of his sons to be top three picks. You know, Lonzo going number two to the Lakers a couple of years ago. And now you got LaMelo Ball being the third pick in this year's draft. So, you know, love or hate LeVar Ball, he did what he needed to do for his sons. And, you know, I think LaMelo actually going to Australia could have helped him a lot more than him playing in college. Especially because, you know, there's speculation about, you know, with him and his shoe deal with Big Baller Brand, that he wouldn't be, that there'd be all this trouble with college if he would be, really be able to play. So I think that going to Australia was definitely the right move. Play with older players, kind of similar to what he was going to see in the NBA. Obviously, the talent in Australia is nowhere near the NBA, but at least you're playing with older, more experienced players, and you're getting more of an understanding of the game at that level. So I think it was definitely the right pick for this Hornets team, who have a bright future ahead of them, and they could make a push for a playoff spot in a very weak Eastern Conference. And signing Gordon Hayward from the Celtics on a 4-year deal will also be huge for this Hornets team. That brings an experienced all-star hoping to get back to the top of his game. It was a pretty hefty deal, in the hundred millions. I'm not sure what the exact number is, but you know, Gordon Hayward, he was an all-star. He hasn't been great the last 2 years after his really bad injury with his first game with the Celtics against the Cavs, you know, that gruesome leg injury that thank God he was able to recover from. But, you know, he's going back in the right way. He wasn't a huge contributor for the Celtics in the playoffs, but you definitely see that he's going back down the right path. And to have a new team where he can lead, I think that's the best possible situation for him right now to get back to the top of his game and be an all-star again. In just the first couple days of free agency, there's been a lot of movement in the NBA, a lot of trades, a lot of new signings, and starting off with Dennis Schroeder to the Lakers for a first-round pick and Danny Green. So he came from the Thunder. You know, the Thunder are in a complete rebuild mode right now. They also sent out Chris Paul to the Suns, and they decided not to re-sign Gallinari, and he signed with the Hawks. And once the Thunder acquired Danny Green, they ended up sending him to the Sixers, and then Kelly Oubre, who they got from the Suns for the Chris Paul trade, they sent him out to Golden State. So, I mean, the Thunder were definitely a surprise playoff team last year. You know, Chris Paul led that team to the playoffs, no doubt. They had a strong young team. You know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had a very good year. Schroeder was second in Sixth Man of the Year voting. He had a very good year for the Thunder. Not many people, I think they had like a 0.3% chance or something making the playoffs last year, and they surprised a lot of people and were able to pull it off. But I think they'll definitely be one of the worst leagues in the team for the next couple of years of this rebuild. But, you know, over the next 5 years, Oklahoma City could end up having over 17 first-round draft picks with all these trades, which is just tremendous. And, you know, they're definitely looking towards the future right now, while the Lakers, on the other hand, are looking to win now. They needed to strengthen their team after their championship win because of a Western Conference that has gotten even better this year, with the Warriors emerging as favorites again. And the Lakers are doing exactly that by trading for Dennis Schroeder. As I said, he was second in voting for Sixth Man of the Year last season, and he averaged 19 points. Danny Green played horribly in the playoffs. That's not even an exaggeration shot. You know, they brought him in as a shooter, and he wasn't able to do that in the playoffs. There's no need to keep him around. You know, it's probably best for him to try to gain his confidence back somewhere else. You know, a Lakers fan base that wasn't really behind him anymore. So probably best for him to move on, you know, got his ring, but, you know, probably best for him to move on and gain his confidence in Philadelphia. And, you know, Dennis Schroeder, he gives the Lakers everything they're asking. He gives the Lakers everything they're asking for. You know, he's a gritty defender. He scores the ball well. And the Lakers also are bringing in Wesley Matthews from the Bucks. And, you know, he's a great 3-point shooter. Had one of his best 3-point shooting seasons last year with the Bucks. You know, and he fills in a dire need for the Lakers, who were one of the worst 3-point shooting teams in the league last year. So bringing Wesley Matthews, you know, definitely will improve their 3-point percentages and statistics and all that for a team that was a very bad 3-point shooting team last year. You know, even better than the Wesley Matthews signing and the Dennis Schroeder trade, the Lakers signed Montrezl Harrell from the Clippers, and he won Sixth Man of the Year last year. And he will bring aggression, energy, and success to this Lakers team. And, you know, most recently the Lakers signed Marc Gasol. He was a champ with the Raptors and fills in that center position with Dwight Howard going to the Sixers and JaVale McGee being traded to the Cavs to actually make room for Marc Gasol's contract. You know, the Lakers, unfortunately, they were not able to sign Rajon Rondo and Avery Bradley. during this free agency, but they were able to sign re-sign Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who was, you know, he was a great player for the Lakers. I think was their top behind AD, and LeBron was their leading scorer in the playoffs. And, you know, he's also a pretty good shooter for that team, you know, works hard on both ends of the court and is someone that they really needed to focus on re-signing. And Pelinka, you know, got to tip off your hats to him. He did what he needed to do. You know, arguably one of the best GMs in the league right now, had a great free agency. He was also able to re-sign Markieff Morris, also a pretty good defender and a pretty good shooter, you know, just an aggressive big man. And overall, I think the Lakers will come into the season with a much better roster than last year, which is exactly what they needed to do with a very competitive Western Conference. Moving on from the Lakers, let's talk about the Bucks. They traded for Jrue Holiday and sent out George Hill and Eric Bledsoe. I think Jrue Holiday brings a lot more to this Bucks team than the two guys they sent out, and Bledsoe and Hill. And, you know, Holiday is one of the best defenders in the league. I think he's such an underrated point guard, and, you know, will definitely bring a lot of attention to himself if he can play well in Milwaukee and keep up how he was playing with New Orleans the last couple of years. You know, not only is he one of the best defenders in the league, but he just sees the game so well. And I think he'll be a nice complement to Giannis and this Bucks team, who should be towards the top of the Eastern Conference again this year. Another team hoping to improve this year is the Phoenix Suns, and bringing in Chris Paul is huge. He is one of the best veterans in the league and is coming off a very strong season with Oklahoma City. You know, he controls the game. He makes great plays on both ends of the court. You know, along with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, the Suns team will definitely be in the playoffs. Everyone can remain healthy. You know, Devin Booker was arguably the best player in the bubble when the Suns went 8-0 before the playoffs began. He's averaged 26.5 points in two consecutive seasons and is hoping to continue to improve on that this season. So, you know, the Suns team is looking very promising, and bringing in Chris Paul was everything they needed. Jason Tatum, De'Aaron Fox, Donovan Mitchell, Bam Adebayo, Brandon Ingram, they all signed huge 5-year contract extensions that were all worth over $160 million. You know, they're all big young stars on their respective teams that deserved every last penny that they were given in these new contracts. You know, Adebayo was superb during this last season for the Heat, you know, when they made their run to the finals, and Jason Tatum's arguably a top 10 player in the league right now. De'Aaron Fox is a star of the Kings franchise, hoping to get back into the playoffs, and Donovan Mitchell is coming off a great year with the Jazz, averaging 24 points a game. Brandon Ingram was awarded the league's most improved player award last year and was also our all-star, who averaged 24 points a game for the Pelicans. Moving on from basketball, let's talk a little bit about the U.S. men's national team. They won 6-2 against Panama and drew Wales 0-0 in their first international friendlies. You know, since this pandemic, this team is starting to look very promising under head coach Greg Berhalter, who is definitely turning towards his younger players. 17-year-old Giovanni Reyna, he's been outstanding for Dortmund the last two seasons and picked up his first goal for the U.S. against Panama. Serginho Dest was also very solid in these two games for the U.S. and will continue to improve at FC Barcelona. Manchester City goalkeeper Zach Steffen, he's a solid leader in the back, in addition to center backs John Brooks and Matt Miazga. And only one MLS player made an appearance for the U.S. in these games, and Sebastian Legette, who plays for LA Galaxy, which really just goes to show how much better Europe is for these U.S. players to develop than in the MLS. So I honestly, like, just a prediction right now, I think this team will definitely qualify for the next World Cup in 2022 in Qatar. And by then, I think a lot of these young players will be more developed and will be led by Chelsea star Christian Pulisic, who was not able to play in the U.S.'s last two friendlies as he is still recovering from injury. But he's been really good for Chelsea ever since he joined them. And, you know, this U.S. men's national team has a very bright future ahead of them. So to wrap up the show today, I have my good friend Avery on the show to talk some football. And Avery's been a Seahawks fan throughout his life, so we're just going to get a little bit of intel from him about what he thinks about his team's defensive woes and also how well they've been playing offensively. So which one do you want to start with, Avery?
We'll start with our strong part of our team. We'll start with the offense.
So, you know, DK's been one of the top stars in the league this year. You know, Russ, we thought was on his way to an MVP season. You know, he's kind of regressed since then. Mahomes should be the favorite now. But what do you see in this offense that you're looking forward to, that, you know, in terms of success, and then also what you think this offense can improve on?
You know what? I really like the offense because I feel that we're a powerhouse now. We can control the game more on offense. Our run game is getting a lot better with our offensive line getting a little bit better, but also getting worse at some times. So we need to work on that a little bit more. But the running back situation, it's always been shaky for Seattle with injuries, but I feel like it's pretty good right now with Carlos Hyde and Chris Carson coming back soon. We also have some young talent on the bench with Dallas and our new running back from Alabama that we got late in the draft. But you got to talk about the strong parts. Our wide receivers are really good. You have Tyler Lockett, D. Moore, and DK for that starting three, which is awesome to have. DK being a really good – having iffy hands, but you can always work on that, but having awesome size and really good speed. But Tyler Lockett's always the go-to over there. He has great hands, great feet. He knows how to run routes. He knows how to get the ball in his hands. And, of course, you have Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, he just knows how to win football games. He might not be the greatest skilled player. He might not have the greatest attributes or everything, but you know what? He knows how to get the game done. He knows how to get wins.
You know, you still have a significant amount of games left in the season. And what do you think it takes from Russ in these last couple of weeks to turn everything around where he was starting in the beginning of the season to win MVP?
You know what? Our first, I would say, six games, we went 6-0. Our schedule is pretty easy. And then it was pretty a rough road in the middle, I'd say. But this ending season from week 12 to week 16, I mean to week 17, you know, it's going to be pretty easy. We have a really easy schedule. We have, like, the lowest winning percentage opponents. So I feel like Russ might get back on his track on the MVP. But I think he played decent in these middle portions, playing really good teams. But I hope he goes for the MVP, and I hope he keeps playing how he did in the beginning of the season.
So, you know, you saw the Rams versus Seahawks game. You know, Jalen Ramsey locking down DK Metcalf. I'm a Rams fan myself. You know, that might be a little bit biased, but you know, both teams sitting at 7-3 right now in the NFC NFC West. That should be a tight finish there. Unbiased opinion, who do you think comes out on top?
Unbiased opinion, I think Seattle comes out top just because of the easy schedule coming up. And yeah,
I mean, Aaron Donald, you know, has been one of the best defensive players in the league this year. Jalen Ramsey's had a great year as well. The Rams are starting to turn things around offensively. And, I mean, this NFC West is just ridiculous. They might, you know, other out-of-division games might not be as good for the teams NFC West, but when you have those divisional games, you can always count for a great game. And, you know, we saw the Cardinals versus Seahawks Thursday night game. And just tell me what you love from your team from that game to turn things around. You know, lost that first game in the season. The first time they played Arizona this year, you know, Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins had a great game that game for the Cardinals. You know, DK had that famous run where he went back and chased down a defender who picked off Russ. But for the Seahawks to turn that around to show that, you know, that they could, that they're very well the best team in the NFC West, with Arizona and Rams being very strong contenders right behind them. What did you like that you saw from your team against the Cardinals?
No. I was really proud of our defense there. Obviously, holding the Cardinals to 21 points is really good. And the Cardinals are a really good football team right now. They're definitely playoff contenders and could be Super Bowl contenders. You never know. But holding DeAndre Hopkins to 5 receptions for 55 yards is really impressive. And that comes down to Trey Flowers right there. Trey Flowers really in a step up. And that's really good guarding D-Hop. He's probably one of the best receivers in the game. But our offense, you know, we controlled that game pretty well. I felt like the run game was really good. I think we had over 100 yards of rushing, which is really impressive from the run game. And that also comes a lot from the offensive line. The offensive line played really well, I feel like, that game. Russ didn't get sacked too much that game, but you know what? I thought we played well. Our receivers, they played well. DK had a few drops here and there, but you know what? He still had a touchdown, some yards, and Tyler Lockett always, he plays well like normal. He very consistent player. I feel like we just played well all around to beat a really good football team.
You know, exactly what that team needed was a defensive turnaround, and it seems like they got that against Arizona. That's something they're going to have to keep up if they want to be serious contenders this year. I think it's definitely possible. It's going to take leadership on both ends of the ball, but I think the Seahawks definitely have what it takes to get back to that Super Bowl. You know, we were talking earlier about, you know, you thought the Seahawks have an easier schedule this year. But, you know, speaking of easy schedules, you got to talk about the Steelers. They are 10-0. They play the Ravens this Sunday. We're supposed to play on Thanksgiving, but got got postponed because of a bunch of Ravens players getting COVID. But you know, you have to give them credit. They've done what they needed to do. They've closed out games, had a little bit of a scare against the Cowboys. But there's no doubt that they've had not one of the easiest or not the easiest schedule in the NFL. And how do you think that has impacted their success this year? Or do you think that schedule has nothing to do with it?
You know what? Looking at their schedule, they've played a lot of easy teams. They played the Giants 3-7, the Broncos 3-6, the Texans 2-7, the Eagles 3-5. And the list goes on and on. But you look at the games where the Titans and the Ravens, they're two close games, 27-24, 28-24. You know what? Those games, the Steelers looked like they had full control of. And I feel like their game is not to blow out teams. I think it's to keep the teams close, but they win the games. And that's what Big Ben does. And, you know, when the Steelers play, let's say, like, the 2-6-1 Bengals or the 3-5-1 Eagles, they like to keep those games close. They don't really overpower games too much. They like to control the game more than anything.
And then you have a game like the Jaguars last week where they just completely shut them down, you know.
Yeah.
They have a really good team, you know, elite receivers and elite offense and arguably the best defense in the league right now. You know, you could say them or the Colts. And, you know, you have Juju. Claypool's been a great rookie for this year for the Steelers. Not a lot of people saw that coming. Finally, you have a healthy Big Ben. And, you know, when you play easier teams, you're going to have a healthier team in result because, you know, you're not – these games aren't as – I mean, the games are close, but not as close where, you know, where guys are having to absolutely just – put their bodies on the line every single weekend. You know, you're not playing like the Chiefs, and I mean you're gonna end up playing the Ravens twice, but you're not playing the Chiefs, the Seahawks, you know, the Rams, these elite teams in the NFL. You're just not seeing them, and so they're staying healthy. And I think that definitely helps their chances come playoff time when you have to have a healthy team coming into playoffs. Yeah. And I think you know, the Steelers are gonna be lucky enough to have that. And Big Ben's been hurt for years, at least. You know, has had one injury a year for, who knows, the last couple of years at least. Yeah. And when you look right now, the Ravens do not look like serious contenders at all in the AFC. The Patriots usually right there, but without Tom Brady, I mean, Cam Newton just hasn't, he's been good, but not what they've needed him to be. But, you know, it looks like right now we're going to see either the Chiefs or the Steelers come out of the AFC. So, you know, you look at the Chiefs, I've only lost one game. That was to the Raiders at home, I believe, what was that, week 5? You know, we're able to turn things around when they came to Vegas, Sunday Night Football. We're able to go on that game-winning drive, Mahomes to Kelce. So, who do you like more? Whose chances do you like more, the Steelers or the Chiefs?
Honestly, right now, I feel like you can't deny Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is an absolute unit on the football field. And I feel like it's really hard to stop that man because he can do it all. He can throw deep, he has great accuracy, and he makes plays, and he can use his legs. He's a big guy, and he can use his legs, and it's pretty scary to play him because you never know what's going to come at you.
It just seems like that Chiefs offense is stacked. You know, you have Tyreek Hill, brought in Le'Veon Bell. Edwards-Helaire had a great rookie season. Travis Kelce, I mean, it's not even arguably. He is the best tight end in the league this year. You know, Mahomes, we're thinking we'll win MVP again this year. If Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson don't have a major turnaround, are able to put up huge numbers in these next couple weeks, but you know I think this year what's so exciting about the NFL right now is it's so open. We have no idea who's gonna come out on top this year, and with the 49ers making it to the Super Bowl last year, barely anybody saw that coming. But the reason they made it was because of defense. Like, it's simple. Jimmy G is not that good of a quarterback, yet he was still in the Super Bowl. Same with Jared Goff. Making it to the Super Bowl with the Rams a couple years ago against the Patriots. Like, that team did not make it to the Super Bowl because of the offense. They made it because of their defense. And because the Chiefs, you know, they have a decent defense, but not like an elite defense like the Steelers do. Personally, I think the Steelers do have a better chance of coming out on top because we know how important defense is to be successful in this league. The Seahawks were at top of the league when, you know, Legion of Boom. I think it's simple, but the Chiefs, because how elite their offense is, there is an exception. We saw that last year. You know, they had huge comebacks against the Texans. I think the Titans as well. So, you know, they did what they had to do. You know, that's an offensive powerhouse, and if they could step it up defensively, then I think, you know, my opinion could be overturned, and they will win. They will come out of the AFC. But, you know, The AFC is definitely more open this year. There's not a, I think there's right now there's not a clear favorite just because of how competitive the Chiefs and the Steelers are. But, you know, when you're looking at the AFC North division, you're also looking at the Browns, and you're like, how does this team only have three losses right now? You know, Baker Mayfield has been mediocre this year, even below mediocre. Odell Beckham is out due to injury. And once again, it's come down to defense. You know, the Browns have one of the best defenses in the league right now, led by Myles Garrett. Just tell me what you think about this Browns team this season.
You know what? Everyone's looking at their defense. Their defense is really good. Myles Garrett is an absolute unit. He's a different force on that field, I feel like. And he's playing he's almost playing a bit different than your typical DN. He's going for sacks, of course, but he's going more for the football, which is really cool because he can get all the sacks he wants, but he has the most forced fumbles this year. Just because when he goes for a quarterback and he's got to blindside him, no, he goes for the football, which is really cool. But you also have to look at the Browns' offensive line is really, really good right now. And they have two extremely elite running backs in the backfield, including Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. And you can control a game if you have a really good run game because it opens up the passing lane more. You know what? You could run for 200 yards in a game, but that one play that you need, you can pass the ball because the team's going to expect to run. So I feel like the Browns honestly have a really low-key chance of playing really good in the playoffs because they have a really good running game, which opens up the passing game.
Yeah, I 100% agree. That's what makes the AFC that much more exciting this year. You know, you have the Raiders and the Dolphins, both the very surprising 6-4 teams who you could argue should not be 6-4, but they've found themselves there anyways. You know, it was very controversial when Tua was named starting quarterback over Fitzpatrick, but for the most part, it still worked out for the Dolphins. You know, they're able to beat the Chargers, the Dolphins, the Rams with Tua starting, and then, you know, they're coming off a hard loss against the Broncos. Tua got sacked 6 times. I didn't play great. They ended up benching him, but he's still expected to be the starter against the Jets. I think it's a very winnable game for the Dolphins. You know, then they'd be 7-4. Then you're at home against Cincinnati. That also should be a win. So they could be going into Kansas City on December 13th at 8-4, which would be, you know, that which would be an amazing feat for that team who's not been very good for at least this last decade. And so if you're a Dolphins fan, you got to be super excited right now about your team's chances. Do I think they get past the first round of the playoffs? No, I don't. Do I think the Raiders get past the first round of the playoffs? No, I don't. But I think it's still very exciting, you know, to see the AFC shape out the way it has this year. But as much as we're talking about the AFC, the NFC, I think, is also wide open too this year. You have very strong teams. You know, you have to talk about Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and New Orleans. You know, starting off with New Orleans, you know, they were rolling. Currently, they're on top. They're on top of the NFC at 8-2. You know, with the Buccaneers behind them at 7-4 in their division. So, you know, Breeze went down. Taysom Hill was named the starting quarterback over Jameis Winston, which was a surprise to many. But at the end of the day, I think Taysom Hill is just a better athlete. Do you think that was the right call by the Saints to go with Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston for the next couple of weeks until Breeze is healthy again?
Yeah, I believe that was the right call. I do agree with you because Jameis Winston, of course, in his past was a good quarterback but also makes too many turnovers, and that Saints team doesn't like making turnovers. Well, football team likes making turnovers, but that Saints defense is shaky at sometimes but really good at sometimes. But I feel like if they're on the field a lot, they are not a good defense. But also, putting Taysom Hill is the NFL is changing. I feel like your old school Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Tom Brady, that era is almost coming to an end with pocket quarterbacks. I feel like quarterbacks that can throw the ball and that can run are a huge advantage.
Kind of like the Kyler Murrays and Lamar Jacksons.
Yeah, like Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's definitely struggling right now, but I feel like he's going to get right back on page and he's going to find a way to make the playoffs. I believe so.
Yeah, so you talk about the Saints, another team, and you know that's doing well in the NFC South is Tampa Bay. They haven't done well in primetime. You know, they've lost. They lost to the Rams in Monday Night Football. They lost to the Saints in Sunday Night Football. You know, they were able to beat the Packers at home, 38-10. That was a huge win for them. But this team definitely has its struggles. And honestly, I see them as a very inconsistent team. Like, you never know what they're going to give you that week. You know, some games Tom Brady's great. Other games you're like, this dude should retire. Like, you know, bringing in Antonio Brown was very controversial. I personally did not think it was a good idea. But, you know, it hasn't seemed to hurt them. If anything, it's definitely helped them. You know, you bring an athletic wide receiver, another weapon to that very talented offense. You're already with Chris Godwin, Mike Evans. Gronk's actually been decent this year. But, you know, that defense is also very questionable. Sometimes they have great games like they did against the Panthers. And then other times, you know, they have kind of iffy games against the Saints, right? You know, you lose 38-3 at home. Like, that's unacceptable. With fans or without fans, that you can't let that happen. And Tom Brady's supposed to be a leader of that team. And it hasn't seemed like he's been exactly what, you know, what we expected from this year. So do you think there's any reason why that's happened? Or what do you see from Tampa Bay moving forward the rest of the season?
You know what, Tampa Bay, I love their defense. They're hard-hitting. They're really good defense. You know what, Tampa Bay has an elite offense. They have many Hall of Famers on that offense and they have some awesome players. But I feel like it all comes down to the coaching staff, and this is why I feel like Jameis didn't get to show his talent, because of that coaching staff. That coaching staff, I don't like any of their plays in their system. And I feel like they're trying to make Brady a different quarterback. I see him throwing a lot of crossbody. And, you know what, their plays just aren't matching with their players. And I feel like that is what could hold them back to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you kind of look at the favorites right now in the NFC, and there's just so many. And to be honest with you, I don't think Tampa Bay will get past the second round this year. I think they're too inconsistent. We don't necessarily what to expect from them. Don't get me wrong. They could get hot the last couple weeks and just roll forward and prove us wrong and actually make the Super Bowl. But it just seems like there's at least three other teams who are better than the NFC. You know, you could argue the Saints, Green Bay, and Seattle. And we haven't talked about Green Bay yet. We're going to finish up the show with them today. You know, they're coming off a loss to Indiana. It was kind of, you know, it was a hard loss for them. Probably a game that they should have won. Lost in overtime. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers has been everything that team needs for him this year. He's been an elite quarterback in the league this year. He's thrown for 29 touchdowns, which is second in the league right now, and almost 3,000 yards, which is he's fifth in the league for passing yards right now. You know, isn't turning the ball over a lot. And, you know, Devontae Adams has been great since he's come back from injury. Lazard's been okay as a wide receiver, as a WR2, you know. You know, this Packers team is very promising. But the problem was, why did they draft Jordan Love in the first round? It makes zero sense to me. Why not wait a couple years? You know, Aaron Rodgers has to have 2 or 3 years left in the tank, maybe even more. Why draft Jordan Love this year? I don't understand it. Like, you're probably with me, but, like, what do you think about that? Because they could have drafted a defensive player to help them out defensively in the first round. They could have drafted another receiver. I think you're good with running backs. You know, Aaron Jones and Williams have both been pretty good this year. You know, you could have drafted a wide receiver. You could have drafted a tight end. You could have drafted a better defensive player. And you go with the quarterback, the one position you definitely did not need. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I'm with you, Devin. I really can't understand that. I don't know why, but you never know what that coaching staff had. Maybe Aaron Rodgers will make a move like Brett Favre did. I'm not sure. Or maybe Aaron Rodgers could be a good mentor to Love. And I'm not really sure what the coaching staff was thinking, but I feel like that's out of our hands. And honestly, I feel like all we can do is focus on what the Packers are doing right now.
All right. So last question before I let you go. Early prediction, who do you got in the Super Bowl right now? Who are your top two teams going through right now?
Top two. You know what? I feel like if Seattle keeps up their defense and keeps playing like they – if they play every game like they play against AZ, they also have, they have a good chance. But I feel like that whole NFC West has a chance except the 49ers. But I really can't see anyone beating the Chiefs in the AFC, so I'm going to have to put the Chiefs in the Super Bowl again. And in the NFC is such an up in the air. Devin, do you care if I pick two teams?
What are you thinking?
You know, I love my Seahawks, but I can't see them in the Super Bowl. And I'm going to have to go with the Packers. And I think I'm going to have to go. Honestly, you might not see it coming, but I think I might have to go with the Cardinals.
Wow.
I feel like it
that's
all
bold.
Pitches come together for them.
Yeah.
With Larry Fitzgerald getting his, I feel like his last game is going to be a Super Bowl game. He's going to win that game.
Wow.
I hate to say it, but it might happen. You never know.
Yeah, that's a bold prediction. I think bringing DeAndre Hopkins was exactly what that team needed. You know, you have an athletic wide receiver that Kyler Murray trusts a lot. Christian Kirk's been pretty good as well as another wide receiver for that team. You have two pretty good running backs in Chase Edmonds and Kenyon Drake. So, you know, any player for that Cardinals team offensively has been pretty good, has had pretty good fantasy value this year. And I know playoffs isn't fantasy, but, you know, I think the Cardinals have been a dark horse throughout the season. I think they also have a very good chance on the playoffs. Do I think they're going to be a Super Bowl team? No, I don't. I think we'll probably see, you know, I'm kind of torn right now between the Chiefs and the Steelers just because I don't know how the Steelers will match up against a really good team like the Chiefs. So, therefore, you know, I'm just going to trust my gut instincts and go with the Chiefs as well as an early prediction right now to make the Super Bowl. But out of the NFC, I really like, if Drew Brees can come back healthy, I do like the Saints' chances. You know, I don't think, you know, the Packers were right there last year, but they, you know, they had that game against 49ers that if they were just focused and came out ready, they probably could have won. But, you know, I don't think that team has the amount of weapons that they need to make it to a Super Bowl. So, I mean, that's all I really have today. If you have any last points, Avery, go ahead. But if not, I hope to have you on the show soon. Thank you for your time.
So, I just have a quick question for you, Devin. We didn't talk about a team in the AFC East that I thought we were going to talk about. What do you think about the Buffalo Bills?
I love them, man. I think Josh Allen is one of the best QBs in the league right now. I think he's been so underrated ever since he's entered the league. You know, he's one of the best fantasy quarterbacks as well. I personally have him on my team, and he's been awesome. You know, you have a very the running back issue, you know, between Zach Moss and Singletary, I don't think either have been that good this year. And I think, you know, to be an elite NFL team, you have to have a good, reliable running back, and the Bills just don't. You know, the defense has been decent. They put up a pretty good showing against the Seahawks, but I don't see that team making it past the second round. I think they're a very good team. But I think it'll take at least 2 or 3 years for them to make a Super Bowl.
I respect it. Well, Devin, thanks for letting me on the show. Really appreciate it. It was really fun. Hope I can get back soon.
Of course, man. I really appreciate it. All right, that's all I have for you guys today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you soon.